Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Presented by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about our free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Reacting to a massacre yesterday from the Arizona Cardinals, 38-13 against the Tennessee Titans. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com for more information. Corey, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Look, if you guys need help talking about that one, I don't know. I mean, it's all right there for us. I mean, I thought Mike Vrabel was pretty spot on when he said it's all right there. You can see every bit of it.
You could see every bit of it, and for the most part, every bit of it was pretty ugly yesterday for the Titans. I guess, Corey, let's start with just this question. What part of the ineptitude yesterday for the Titans maybe surprised you the most? What were you most surprised to see out of the Titans yesterday?
You know, I had concerns on the offensive line because of their lack of time together and two guys coming off COVID. But the way they were physically whipped at the line of scrimmage was pretty shocking to me. I mean, from the jump, Derrick Henry's first carry went for -3 yards. You know, that was something I guess I just was not prepared for. Was I prepared to see Chandler Jones get to the quarterback a time or two? Yeah, I was. Not five times. No, not five times. I've never seen that in my life. Didn't Derek Thomas have eight?
I think so. But we were talking about this earlier. I don't know that either one of us have ever seen five in an NFL game.
Even the notorious Will Svitek game that got Ken Wisenhunt fired,
yeah.
I think that was three sacks for J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
This was five. And so that was the first layer of it. And then was the unwillingness to adapt to it and put a second man on him. And they just kept rolling with it. And, you know, as Coach Vrabel said, you know, we got to win some one-on-one matchups. So they weren't winning, and they weren't willing to help. And so they just kept losing.
Okay, so let's spin it forward. The thing from yesterday, Corey, that you think is the biggest concern that could be a lingering issue, and maybe the thing, and again, there's a buffet of bad things to choose from here. The thing that was bad that maybe you can look at and say, well, that's going to get better, I feel confident about. What would you say to those two things?
Well, I'll start on the back half. Look, the defense wasn't great yesterday, but I feel like it will get better because, you know, Bud Dupree hasn't played football in a while, and I think he'll become a bigger factor. I felt like there were times they got pressure on Kyler Murray. He made some great plays and some great throws, and you know, we all know that happens sometimes. So while the defense wasn't great, I will say that I'm confident it will get somewhat better. I don't know that I'm prepared to pick one thing out to say, you know, that can't get better, because I remember when I was ready to fire Keith Carter a couple of years ago because the offensive line was so horrendous when Taylor Lewan was out, and then when he came back, those first four games, about an eight-game stretch there where the offensive line was really, really bad, got Marcus Mariota killed. So do I think they can fix it? Yeah, I think it's a reality check. I think they'll go back to work and they'll get better. I don't know how quickly they can get better, you know, can they get better in time to win at Seattle? I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, if I had one lingering problem to pick, it's probably the low-hanging fruit, the kicking game. Because, once again, we went an entire offseason without really addressing the kicking game. You know, I always say hope is not a strategy. And to hope Tucker McCann Blake Hobble?
Yep.
To hope one of those guys worked out wasn't dedicating to fixing the position. It was hoping it would work out. And I know people say, well, they brought in Sam Ficken and he got, yeah, you know what? They got Sam Ficken a week into camp or how long it was. There's no guarantee Sam Ficken was ever going to be available. He fell on their lap and then he got hurt. So that's still not aggressively addressing the position to fix it. And so now we're a week into the season here, and I feel like the kicking carousel has begun. And, you know, I don't know how badly Thickens hurt. I would like to think it's not that bad, but, you know, how long is he out? You know, does anybody expect Badgley to be on the team on Wednesday?
No, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, and so, like I said, the carousel's underway. Randy Bullocks, you're up next. Come on down. He misses a kick, somebody else is coming in because they're going to sign somebody else to the practice squad this week. And, you know, even if you hope that Tucker McCann is the guy, you got to bring somebody in who's a vet. I mean, and I say you got to. This is my opinion. You got to bring somebody in who's a vet who you can say, if McCann's not ready, we can go with this guy. And if McCann's ready, then we can cut him because, you know, the only thing that counts against the cap is the guaranteed money. And they didn't do that. And I just, you know, we all shook our head at it all summer long. And here it is again.
Corey Kurz from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, not a good day yesterday for the offensive line, as you mentioned. Specifically, not a very good day for Taylor Lewan, and he tweeted about it after the game.
Mm-hmm.
I guess as you evaluate what happened yesterday, and Chandler Jones obviously is a really good player, and Taylor Lewan has been a very good player for the Titans throughout his career, do you chalk yesterday up as more of, hey, it's a guy coming off an ACL injury and it's his first game back going up against an elite pass rusher, you're not that worried about it, or are you concerned that maybe Taylor Lewan maybe lost a step when he's coming back from injury? How do you kind of evaluate what we saw from Lewan yesterday?
Well, I think if you're concerned he's lost a step and it's all over, I mean, I think that's overreacting to one game. You know, he gave up two of the sacks. He didn't give up all five. Kendall Lamb gave up one. Roger Saffold gave up one. And on one, he was unblocked.
Yep.
So he gave up two. That's not great. We know that. He didn't look good doing it. And he was the first one to admit that. Taylor has played an elite level in this league. He's also had moments where he has struggled in this league. And he's been a guy who, when he has struggled, has doubled down and gone back to work and gotten better. And so I think that's what I hang my hat on, is that he's got too much pride to let that be who he is. And so, you know, if in five or six games, this is the same Taylor Lewan we're seeing, then maybe we start to say he's lost the step, you know, he's having a hard time coming back from the injury, whatever. But I think one game against a guy who had 19 and a half sacks 2 years ago, I'm not ready to say that.
So we knew, Corey, that Todd Downing, you know, if things went well, okay, well, great, you inherited a Ferrari and you drove it down the street. And if they didn't go well, you know, he was obviously going to be the first guy you look at. Now, you could, from the pro Downing perspective, you could look at this game and say, well, if you get beat up front like that, tell me what plays are going to work. But
exactly.
But I just didn't like, even from the start. I think when you go a third straight series of getting behind the chains, going first down run to Henry, I think that's a little bit of stubbornness. And I just didn't like the overall approach or how things looked. How much do you put on him yesterday? Is there a concern level after just the one game, or is that an overreaction?
Again, one game is tough, but, you know, also, what did we see from Arthur Smith in the past? When they started slowly against Cleveland, you know, well, that was a really bad game all the way around, but they started slowly against Pittsburgh, and they ended up getting things going. And the thing Arthur always had was, if things were kind of coming apart, he always went back to the run game and Henry. And I think that's what Downing was trying to do. He was trying to settle things down by running the football. And, you know, you think this is who we are. This is what we do. We're going to be able to rip off 3 or 4 yards here on first down. And they weren't able to do it. And you're right, it's much harder to call plays when you're behind the chains. And, you know, it's easy to be critical of play calling. You know, we all are offensive coordinators in our own mind. I'm not as upset about the play calling as I am about the lack of willingness to keep a tight end in to help pass protect. Because Tannehill took a beating, and it really didn't change for four quarters. And I know you like to have, you know, four or five guys out there running pass patterns, but it doesn't do any good if the quarterback is on his back. So more than play calling, I was concerned with adapting to what was happening.
Corey, what did you think of Kevin Byard yesterday? Obviously, gets the interception. Had some other plays where he was just a bit late in coverage. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins made a great play to make him miss in the middle of the field on the touchdown pass, the second pass that Hopkins caught. Overall, what did you think of Kevin Byard yesterday?
Well, it's hard to pick on Kevin Byard. I mean, when everybody else was not great, he did make a play that helped get his team back into the game for a very brief glimpse of time. I thought, from what I saw all over the league, the tackling was not good. I don't know what else you guys saw yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, just watching the Bears last night, tackling was not good. And, you know, we watch practice. Teams don't tackle anymore. They don't. I mean, Joe and I are old enough to know we've been out to practice and watch guys kill each other. And, you know, they don't do that anymore. And early in the season, it tends to show up. And I thought, like I said, all over the league, it showed up yesterday. I thought the Titans weren't the only team that did not tackle particularly well. And for the, you know, some of that stuff, like I said, great players make great plays. And that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins pulled the Maverick and put on the air brakes and flew right by him. I mean, just it happens sometimes. And I know there was a touchdown pass. Was that to Kirk? I mean,
yep.
He had tight coverage. It was a great throw. It was a great throw.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Byard was there. You still want to be that one step closer to make the play, but
yeah,
you can't really.
You want to make the play without question.
You can't throw it better than that. Well, you brought up the Bears, Corey. So, one, are you ready to acknowledge Matt Stafford, pending Super Bowl champion? And two, when the heck is Justin Fields the Bears starting quarterback?
You know, interesting. By the way, I picked the Bills to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, so I do have the Rams going a long way with your boy Matt Stafford. I saw he's what was the 9th or the 14th or something player in NFL history with 300 yard passing games. So I've got some stats for your guy.
That's
there.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, he played well despite the fact that they didn't run the ball very well. And so that was good. You know, look, the Rams have a lot of pieces, and they're good, and they're going to be good. And you know, the thing about Stafford is, you know, whether you think he's an elite quarterback or not, I don't think, and this probably isn't fair because I haven't covered the Rams, but you always felt like Sean McVay was a puppet master with Jared Goff, like telling him what to do all the time. And I feel like with Stafford, he can call the play, and Stafford knows what to do. You know, I think there's a difference. I think there's just more command out there. As far as the Bears, I was glad to see they got Fields on the field. I thought that was a good step forward. I about lost my lunch listening to Chris Collinsworth talk about how well Andy Dalton played last year. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, look, Andy Dalton's a good backup. I think he'd be a backup any team would be glad to have right now. But as great as you think Andy Dalton played last time, he had 14 points and 3 turnovers. Okay? That's not good enough to win. Not in any league. And, you know, I understand. We've all talked about it, why they started him in this game. If they want to start him in the next one and sprinkle Fields in a little bit more, then do that. But they need to progress because the team will give up on the coach fast. I mean, the coach was already entering this season on the hot seat. And players know. Players know. And, you know, players know when a guy's not in charge anymore. And they check out on him. And so, you know, he's got a coach, like a coach who's got a grasp of what's happening and reality. Because, you know, say whatever you want about Jeff Fisher. You know, Jeff Fisher is a smart guy, knows a lot about coaching, won a lot of football games. But towards the end of his tenure, there were times he would say things that just didn't look like they were based in reality. And I think when coaches get to that point where you're like, what are you talking about? You know, the players see all that too. And the longer he marches Andy Dalton out there over Justin Fields, I think the closer he's going to get that way with his team. And the other thing is Andy Dalton's not the guy who's going to take you where you need to go. It's got to be Justin Fields or it's got to be somebody else. So eventually you got to find out what you got.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right, thanks, guys. Long season.
That's right.
And you know what? It's funny. I've been covering this team a long time. I've seen a lot of stinkers, and I've seen a lot of games where it looks like there is no hope, and then the next week they come out and win a game.
We've also seen Ken Whisenhunt look really good in week one. Really good.
Yeah, we have. By the way, the Cleveland Browns, I saw this stat last night, 1-21-1 in their last 23 openers.
That's just amazing.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
They need to hire the Wiz just for week one.
Just let him go after.
The other guy handle the rest of the season.
That's right. That's a good idea.
Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you.
See you, Corey.
All right, have a good one. Bye.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest, joins us every Monday at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. For more information, visit InvigorateHealthTN.com. We'll be right back. We'll react a little bit to what Corey had to say here. Get back into the Titans game yesterday, a debacle at Nissan Stadium. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media Nashville are helping our friends at WQMV in Waverly rebuild from the catastrophic floods last month. Head on over to thegamenashville.com to learn how you can help as well, as the radio station suffered major damage to their structure, equipment, and more. We want everyone affected by the floods to know that you're not alone and to keep being Humphreys County strong. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A beatdown yesterday, Joe Rexroad, 38-13. The Cardinals came in and from start to finish really dominated that game, dominated on both lines of scrimmage. Cardinals were able to do pretty much whatever they wanted to, moving the ball down the field for the most part. Defensively, Chandler Jones and company got after that Titans offensive line all day long. It was really ugly from start to finish, and it was a shame because, as you brought up, I thought a pretty good atmosphere to begin the game yesterday. Lots of anticipation for this Titans team, and I don't know if you could have maybe hand-drawn more of a clunker than we saw yesterday for the Titans to begin the season.
No, it was shocking. I mean, it was shocking to see the offense do what it did, to see the offense with no yardage after a first quarter, no first downs. The only first down was a safety throw into a safety on a fake punt.
Yep.
They were minus one total yardage. And, I mean, I think Corey brought up another point there. I thought at times that, you know, they did leave a tight end in, but they didn't give enough help once it was clear that they couldn't block, in particular Chandler Jones. They had other issues in pass pro at times, but in particular Chandler Jones, five sacks. And they just didn't adjust. But then beyond the adjusting, I just didn't like the approach. And they – look, I think some of that approach can probably be explained by the expectation that this offensive line, which has been very good and is expected to be one of the best – if right tackle's figured out, one of the better offensive lines in the league, wasn't even close to that. So if you're basing your plan around that and then they perform that badly, then I suppose you could look at – you could go back and say, well, okay – What's the different plan? But look, you got to adjust and figure out something. I mean, Arthur Smith last year figured out when they lost Taylor Lewan ways to continue to produce with that offense, and it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors, and it was less tight end in the passing game, and they found a way. And Ryan Tannehill to me yesterday, I don't think he played that well. But I don't think I have not seen him get hit like that so many times in one game. And there were just times where he just had no chance. You mentioned earlier in the show, someone tweeted us like, have they taken one deep shot in this game? And it's like, how do you take a deep shot when you can't block people?
No, and there was – look, the protection for Ryan Tannehill, for the most part, since he's been here, has been pretty good. I mean, they've protected him pretty well. They've given him time to throw. He got hit a lot yesterday, and yesterday was one of the first times, really other than him just taking off and running, where I was legitimately worried that Ryan Tannehill was going to get knocked out of the game. I mean, he just kept getting hit play after play, and some of the hits he took, I mean, the blindside hit by Chandler Jones that forced the fumble, that's a vicious hit. The one where you're on the naked bootleg and he rolls around and he's trying to get rid of the ball, that's a big hit he took on that play too. I mean, he took some shots yesterday. Now, to his credit, I think Ryan Tannehill has proven at this point, and this was even before yesterday, he's a pretty tough dude, and he's not afraid of the contact, which I think you love if you're a Titans fan. But I was legitimately worried at one point yesterday, about in the second quarter, like, man, is he going to make it through this game? Because he has taken a whole lot of hits back there. And look, if that's the way it goes as the season goes along here and they can't get better in that area very quickly, I don't know if Ryan Tannehill is going to make it through the season. So they've got to shore that up in a hurry.
He's tough, and he stands in, and that's the thing is you worry about quarterbacks who take a certain amount of hits just having that clock speed up on them, that internal clock speed up on them. He stood in there and took the hits, and you have to be impressed with that. But if you want to contrast, go back to early last season before Luan got hurt. I thought one of the keys to everything was that they had stretches of games where Tannehill could stand in there and go through his progressions casually almost and make the right throw.
Yep.
Obviously Luan, they had the same four guys from left to right, and then they had Dennis Kelly at right tackle. And of course you still have to give some help at times and use the back on third down or use another tight end, whatever it is, but he had clean pockets consistently last year, and that was a big part of the offense dominating.
We've got our first edition of the season of the Pro Football Focus grades that are coming out. John Glennon is on top of it.
As always.
And we have the offensive lineman grades. Roger Saffold, a 70.8.
I said I thought he was probably the least problematic.
Ben Jones, 67.9. Quesenberry, 65.6. And then Taylor Lewan, 39.7. Nate Davis, 32.3. Kendall Lamb, 29.3.
Wow, those are some grades for whatever Pro Football Focus is worth.
Well, this is one instance where the eyeball test and the Pro Football Focus test, they line up with what we saw out there.
Although I would not have guessed Nate Davis behind Taylor Lewan. We talked earlier in the show about the one play in particular with J.J. Watt. Like Ben Jones and Nate Davis are supposed to double J.J. Watt. I don't think they touched him.
They just went right to the gap.
Yeah. From what they were both trying to do on the play, it looked like that was the assignment. And, yeah, he just went right through there. But that's a bit surprising. Other than that, yeah, sounds about right. Good job, Pro Football Focus. Maybe you really turned – we can count on these Pro Football Focus grades now as gospel.
Yeah. See what happens on that front. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Devin from Dover texting in. That's what happens when you don't practice and don't play any starters in the preseason. We've gotten a lot of that on the text line today.
I mean, that question was asked of everybody yesterday. And, again, it's been asked so much. And, again, I think that there's validity to it for sure. I guess at this point it's sort of like, okay, well, what do you do about it now? And what is the question, because they should have done something fundamentally different in the preseason? I mean, some people would say yes, play Tannehill in the preseason games, play these guys, play Henry in the preseason games. Yes, I don't know that I buy that. I do
they
buy
say that until Brian Tannehill gets hurt in the second quarter of a preseason game.
They're right?
Like, okay.
Now, the practices matter. And sure. So, like, they went to the Tampa Bay, right? They had those practices. Those are very valuable practices. That's what coaches like. You see it all around the league. Now, that's where you get value. And that week, no Henry, no Julio, no AJ. Now, I think with Julio and AJ in particular, minor injuries or maybe knee maintenance with AJ or whatever it was. So, I think Vrabel would have liked all those guys other than Henry to be participating, but they didn't. And I'm sure that that is part of this. I also do think that's a little bit of an excuse for the Titans, whereas, you know, sometimes you just stink. So I think yesterday you could also just say that They, on an island, they also just stunk out loud without talking about the, you know, the practice stuff.
They were awful yesterday. There's no doubt about it. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our text line and our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your reaction to the Titans and getting the getting beat down yesterday by the Arizona Cardinals, 38-13 in the season opener. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Saturday, you win a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We're also streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch. You can check that out every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Henry texting in, I think the Titans are being the Titans. They lose games they should win and destroy teams that some say they shouldn't. I believe adjustments will be made, and the Titans will surprise a lot of people against the Seahawks. So Henry with a glass-half-full approach there. Not much of that yesterday after the game with a loss against the Cardinals. I think fair to say, if you're a Titans fan that obviously they've been really looking forward to this season, maybe you showed up yesterday to Nissan Stadium, saw that environment, pretty good environment to begin the game at Nissan Stadium, and then for your team to just come out and totally lay an egg like that. We talked earlier in the show, some boo birds came out yesterday, I think well-deserved. I think the Titans deserved to be booed yesterday, and now it's on them to see how they respond to that. All in all, just an ugly performance. I mean, look, Kyler Murray, 289 yards, four touchdowns yesterday. Had another touchdown on the ground as well, so a big day for him. Made some great throws. DeAndre Hopkins continued to look like DeAndre Hopkins yesterday. You know, you can roll through the whole list. We've talked offensively. The offensive line, Taylor Lewan specifically, not very good yesterday. There's not many positives to take out of yesterday's game. I can think of a couple maybe on each side of the ball, but not very many to take out of yesterday's game against the Cardinals.
No, I mean, it's slim pickings on that. I mean, offensively, boy, it's really hard to find. Defensively, I think a couple guys, you know, showed some promise. And, yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with Corey, like, you know, it's easier for me to see the defense building on some things, you know, than the offense needs to basically just like start over. We have real quick. So at the Athletic, we had some of our national writers do a roundtable.
Yep.
Including like the whole league. What was the most surprising thing from the early games? Now, Ted Gwynn, friend of the show, also knows the Raiders really well. He said his thing was how bad the Titans offense looked. And here's a quote. Quote, a big question was new OC Todd Downing, who had a terrible first stint with the Raiders. Second chance to not start well, then he goes through all the nitty-gritty. Downing has figured out quickly because this Titans offense has too much talent to look this bad, end quote. That's going to be a popular sentiment around here. It's a popular sentiment around the league. I mean, that's a standout of all the games yesterday. That's something that stood out.
Well, and to that point, I mean, I understand the Titans fan that says, all right, with the offensive line playing the way they did yesterday, how in the world could you have any judgment of Todd Downing one way or the other? And I think it's fair to some degree.
To a point.
I will also say the way that they came out and the operation is one thing, but just the play calls on the first few drives, I was not a fan of. I mean, you can't just line up on first and 10 every drive and turn around in I formation and hand it off to Derrick Henry. That's not a path for success. I realize that Derrick Henry has made a lot of people look stupid the last couple of years, even when you know that he's getting the ball, and it's always tempting to give him the ball. But doing it every time on first down, it's not a good formula for success. You've got to switch things up a little bit, and you can't wait that long into the game to target A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Get him the ball.
Right. Now, I'm sure if Todd Downing were here, he'd go through the film with us and say, well, this play and this play, they were going to be targeted, but Ryan Tannehill got hit 1.3 seconds, and go through all this information we don't know, and we'll never know. And we can all be, as Corey said, we're all OCs. It's easy to see plays that don't work and criticize them. But if you go into this game and tell me the first three first downs are going to be just, you know, runs to Derrick Henry, I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I like that idea. Dennis on the text line asks, how different do you think the game goes if Art was still the OC? I mean, I don't know. But I just know, you know, like judging an OC in general, it's almost like when you know a movie's really good or you know, like, wow, that whatever they did to prepare that steak. I swear, I make food analogies so much
you
with
do.
Football, like including my right. I don't know why. I'm obsessed with food. But
I'm here for it.
Yeah, but you know, like you just sort of know. And with Arthur Smith, you could sense like he was a step ahead of the guy he was going against. You could sense he did some things they weren't ready for. He set up plays later in a game. You know, at times you could identify like, oh, see, that play was off the earlier play, and look how well it worked. You could tell he was just good. Like he just had a feel for it. Todd Downing's had one bad season as OC and one bad game. So it's very early to sit here and say he just doesn't have it. And I can't sit here and tell you that it would have been totally different with Arthur Smith. Again, if you can't block, Arthur Smith was very questioned as OC, by the way, 2 years ago. They're 2-4.
Yep.
They have a terrible offense. Everybody's like, why the heck did you elevate that tight ends coach to be your OC? That changed a little bit. So that's a good lesson, too, for all of this. But, and by the way, Arthur Smith, his team got 6 points yesterday.
Did not go well.
They're going to be bad. But I do think it's absolutely fair to look at this and say, man, Todd Downing, you're the guy who needs to do a lot to fix this. And if you have these issues, again, late in the game, don't ever even consider having Kendall Lamb be on an island with Chandler Jones. Because you know what's going to happen? He's probably going to blast your quarterback in the back and force a fumble, which is exactly what he did.
Yep.
That's a coaching mistake.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texting in. Robbie, do you think Aaron Rodgers threw that game yesterday? Who dat nation? Thank you for the shot,
ooh,
Josh. And as far as the Titans, almost everyone had them beating Arizona and losing to Seattle. So I think that if they can flip the outcome of those games and be 1-1 going to Indy, things are going to be okay. I guess the one good thing, if you're the Titans yesterday, Indy lost. I mean, Jacksonville lost, if you're worried about
yeah,
them.
Sure.
Houston's 1-0, though.
Gotta watch
first place, Houston Texans.
Tyrod Taylor was way better than Trevor Lawrence, just saying.
But it would have compounded things pretty poorly yesterday if you go out and you look the way that you did against Arizona and Indy was somehow able to beat Seattle. That would not have been good yesterday.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it very well could be. And Indy has a real tough game, right? Who do they play this week? They play another NFC West team probably, which is just, I mean, this whole division is going to suffer for having this matchup. It's so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, all those teams are so good. But
they play the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah. There you go. Matt Stafford, come on down. So, yeah, it could be a matchup of 0-2s as the division, you know, battle. Like, first one to 8-9 wins the division. I don't know. But this does remind me a little bit of Vrabel's first year. When they come out of that loss at Miami, and it's so grim, and a lot of the being so grim is that Luan got absolutely, if you remember, like the hit he took, which was like probably should have been like a 4-game
criminal
suspension.
Yeah.
Delanie Walker breaks his leg. Mariota has the neck thing. Plus they lose, and they're about to. They have like no offensive lineman. Conklin's out. Luan's out. They have no offensive lineman against the Texans, and that pass rush with Clowney and Watt. And they fake punt their way, like an incredible win. It's not exactly the same as this, but like you look at their offensive line and you look what Seattle did up front to the Colts, ballyhooed, supposedly good offensive line. And you look at Russell Wilson throwing 50-yard bombs to two super fast receivers, and you don't like this matchup. But this is maybe Vrabel can, you know, figure something out this week and pull something off and totally change the discussion a week from now.
Got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says, y'all saw Miami Ryan Tannehill yesterday. No time to pass, getting beat up all day, and yet he just gets up and goes on to the next play. He's a tough quarterback. Miami couldn't protect him, and you see what happens when the Titans can't. He gets the blame for lack of production, but it's not his fault with no protection. He's better on rollouts, and coaches need to play to his strengths when the O-line can't do their job.
Well,
lifelong Dolphins and Tannehill fan.
Well, that's a great point, too. I mean, move the pocket. Like, you know, you got to you got to adjust to what you're seeing, and it was ugly. And I agree, Tannehill demonstrated toughness. It's hard to knock his performance that much because he was such under fire during the day. I will say early on in that first series, actually, third down, he's got, if he looks left, he's got Firkser for an easy first down.
Yep.
And he forces one into Chester Rogers that almost could have been picked. He also had a screen to McNichols that almost could have been picked. Then, of course, he had the one later that was popped into the air and picked on a way too hot shot to Julio. So he wasn't good. But I think his performance in particular, I'd have to grade on a curve based on all the things around him.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will take place on November 5th at Nissan Stadium. Register and learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Once again, that's lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Visit our brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. John Glennon has put out the Pro Football Focus defensive grades as
well. Does he
well.
Get, like, does PFF pay just, Glennon? Does he get a little cut?
They just straight email him? I don't know.
But Glennon is, he is the,
he's all over.
He's where I don't go to PFF. I don't really like PFF, but I don't really go to, I don't need to go PFF. I just go to Glennon. Glennon's got the PFF.
That's right. Bud Dupree, a 48.1. Jackrabbit Jenkins, 47.9. Jayon Brown, 44.3. Elijah Molden, a 37, and Rashawn Evans, a 34.2.
If you want to hear coaches laugh, mention PFF grades.
Oh yeah,
but you know, there's some things that I'm sure they watch the game. I think they watch the game.
I hope.
Like, you know, flip through it real quick.
Although
a couple plays,
I will say, pretty high on Jadeveon Clowney last year on the old PFF.
By the way, I saw Clowney and Myles Garrett met at Mahomes in a huge moment yesterday, shared a sack, and there you go. Clowney has now done more than he did here.
Pretty high bar.
He looked pretty good. Yeah.
Dennis texting in, does Caleb Farley get more playing time next week, and will we see Rashad Weaver? Were you surprised that Weaver wasn't active yesterday?
That was my biggest surprise of the inactives. I figured it was close with Raidens, and it's not good that your second-round pick is inactive. I was, you know, obviously with Reynolds, I mean, I think Reynolds is purely a health thing. He's not quite on IR, but he's not 100% healthy. So Reynolds sits. It's a little surprising on Cam Batson too, but, Weaver, I was surprised. Yes. I mean, I think it comes down to, you know, the thing that both Roberson and Adeniyi do a little better, they are both a little faster than him. He got a little bit more foot speed. And in this matchup, at least, the Titans prioritize those guys and their foot speed. And Denny, again, he's a key special teams guy over Weaver. I do still think that Weaver in some matchups will be important. I mean, his physicality is clear. And, again, he makes plays preseason. Got to take it with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I was a little surprised by that. As for Farley, look, I don't think this week. Hey, are you familiar with DK Metcalf? Yeah, go cover that guy. Now, I'm not saying you feel great about Jackrabbit either. I think Jackrabbit might need to be retired if he keeps playing like that. But, again, he's going against Hopkins, but that's the problem with the NFL is that when you play real games, you go against guys like that. I think eventually you want to see Caleb Farley be pushing to start and to play significant snaps and not play garbage time snaps in the fourth quarter of a blowout loss. I would be surprised if this week – that transition happens.
Yeah, I would be too. And hopefully Imani Hooker is healthy as well, because we've talked about the safety depth. He got banged up yesterday in the game, and they had to dive into that safety depth. Bradley McDougald on the field. So big week for Imani Hooker to see whether or not he can be healthy, because as we found out yesterday watching, if you saw any of the Seattle Colts game, They take some deep shots. You're going to need your safeties to be ready to go.
Yes, they do. And they got the guys that take the shots.
Yes, they do. Brian on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The only positive for the Titans from yesterday is that the game lasted 60 minutes, not longer. I guess so.
Felt long. Felt longer than that.
It did feel longer than that.
Saffold after the game is like, well, I got 17 games. This is our mulligan. Someone texted on the text line, too. Hey, Derrick Henry's quest for 2,000, he's still got 16.
He's still got
games.
16 more. He's good shape.
He's still got 16.
Joe from Maryland texting in, I'm really nervous about seeing a comment from a Raiders fan saying that Todd Downing took the Raiders offense from top 10 to bottom 10 in 1 year. There's a lot of – look, if you ask some Raiders fans, they'll tell you. Not big fans of Todd Downing.
Ask Fitzy.
Now,
again, the OC – does the OC get overblamed? Absolutely.
Yes.
Did the Raiders have other issues that year? Yep. Including, like the Titans, they had a quarterback coming off a late season broken leg. They had other injuries. They had all kinds of issues overall with the staff, and they were going to get fired, all that stuff. But still, I mean, what we've seen so far, which is a season and a game, is not good. And the overall operation, adjusting to things, having a plan, not getting your quarterback blasted left and right. I mean, you have to put that on whoever's coordinating the whole thing.
You know, it's tough also. We've not even really talked about this today. It's tough to really judge Derrick Henry yesterday, too. Number one, because, you know, the offensive line struggled, and we've talked about that. But number two, they were down so quick, you started to have to throw the ball a little bit more as the game went on. I mean, Derrick Henry finishes with 17 carries, 58 yards, so 3.4 a carry. Had a 19-yard run in there as well. But he just never really got going yesterday. And, you know, I thought maybe they force-fed him a little bit too much early on. And then after that, I mean, there were some drives where he just got taken out of the game because they had to throw the ball.
Yeah, I mean, once it got way out of hand, they took him out of the game. Now, though, he had one good series, which was interesting because it was and this was after the pick and that was – you know, popped up into the air to Isaiah Simmons. This was after Jeffrey Simmons actually got a sack and they got a stop. The defense was playing. I mean, they were playing hard. The Titans went at 31-13. They went to kept running Henry, which honestly I don't hate because there was still 8 minutes left in the third quarter. If you score a touchdown right there in that drive and it becomes 31-20, and okay, you take up 5 minutes off the clock instead of three, okay. There's still plenty of game. So Henry went right, huge hole, 19 yards, and it was one guy from being a 90-yard touchdown. And then he had a four, and then he had another one, like seven for a first down, and he got nine inside. So it was like, okay, here's a tired defense. Everybody's tired. This is where Henry's going to make. Like if this was a close game where they were ahead, you know, Henry probably rushes for 70 yards in the fourth quarter or something, right?
Yeah.
That's the formula. When defense gets tired, things loosen up. But then – Then you had the another pick. Is that right? The drive ended in misery, as most of them did.
Yes.
But that was, I mean, if you other than that series, there was nothing at all.
I got a texter on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, that says, when was the last time we didn't run the ball on first down? All you have to do is line up five defensive linemen with the end split wide, and our zone running scheme is dead along with the rest of our offense. And that goes back to the play calling. Like, I was not impressed with the early plan yesterday for Todd Downing and your ability to adjust. I mean, it was obvious that the Cardinals were trying to stop Derrick Henry early on in that game yesterday. Maybe switch things up a little bit. And it's not even like having to drop back and take a seven-step drop and have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones run 30-yard routes down the field. You're quick hitters. Get the ball into A.J. Brown's hands quickly. Get your ball in the hands of Julio Jones quickly. Let them make plays after the catch, which they've done so many times throughout their career. I didn't see enough of that early on yesterday. And then they finally did get the ball to A.J. Brown, and turns out he's pretty good.
Right. I mean, to me, quick access stuff to get the ball in their hands, and then you get a defense adjusting to that. Again, it's easy to say whatever doesn't work, don't do something different. But like in general, like I think that's a thing you got to do. You got to get those guys the ball quickly, And then, you know, you hope you can take shots. You hope you can stretch the defense vertically because you can protect and give Tannehill time. But in the meantime, that was such a mismatch against those corners, and it really didn't play out that way. It should have, but it didn't. Here and there, you had the two-play drive that's all A.J. A.J. for 19, A.J. for 13, touchdown. But not nearly enough of just getting them the ball. By the way, that drive, I was wrong. That was the strip sack at the end of that. The second strip sack with Kendall Lamb on an island against Chandler Jones after he had just had his second.
Was that Chandler Jones' fifth sack of the day? Was that number five or is that number four?
I think, because that was still early third, so I'm assuming he had at least that was maybe three or four. I don't know. It's hard to keep track, man.
that was going to go in the Hall of Fame yesterday from Chandler Jones.
Yeah, that'll
I'm
go
not sure
on.
He's going to get any better than that one.
Yeah, his end of career retrospective video will have a few
moments. A lot of Titans footage.
Game.
It's like, wow, y'all must have played the Titans a lot out there in Arizona. No, this is from
all
one game.
In a day's work.
All in a day's work. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including the three best and the three worst from the Titans game yesterday against the Cardinals. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.